Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for May 14th, 2025. First order of business, would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The roll call tonight, Chris is excused. We've got Mike Shannon from Commissioner Jones' office with us tonight. We've got Lorna from the Comprehensive Planning tonight to help us out. I've got some notes on conduct of the meeting. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Public comments, responses to the applicant's presentation will be limited to 3 minutes. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission, BCC, or to the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and electronic devices. And please take all private conversations outside the room. If you want to talk to the applicant after for further discussion, please meet him out in the hall and then so we can continue on with the meeting here. That brings us down to the public comment period. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded an opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or by the board majority vote. So are there any general public comments at this time? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments. That brings us down to the approval of the minutes for 30 April 2025. And I have no additions, deletions, etc. Carmen, you have any board members?
Nope.
Mike?
Sir.
Okay. I'll make a motion that the minutes for the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for 30 April 2025 be approved as published. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda for May 14th, 2025, to hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action. And I have a number of items that are combined for the hearing, and it'll be items 6 through 10. Item number 6 is PA 2370051. Item number 7 is ZC 230879. Item number 8 is VS 250285. Item number 9 is WS 250284. And finally, number 10 is TM 255000070. Does anyone have any withdrawals or other amendments to the agenda? I'll make a motion that the agenda for the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for 14 May 2025 be approved as modified. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us down to the informational items. These are announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings, county and community meetings and events. I've got two items for tonight. First is the SRCC Showcase to celebrate the 1 year Silverado Ranch Community Center with complimentary food, games, DJ, and a peek at what community members have been creating in the center's classes. And note, that is while the supplies last on food. And that is on May 17th, 2025, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the address is 855 Gillespie Street, which is just out front. The other item we have tonight is walk and talk with Commissioner Knapp. Join Commissioner Knapp for a walk around the Silverado Ranch Community Center's indoor track to discuss Clark County, its departments and agencies, and any feedback that you have about the neighborhood. There are three dates that this will occur. The first is Thursday, May 29th at 9 a.m. The second is Tuesday, June 24th at 8:30 a.m. And the final is Wednesday, July 30th at 9 a.m. So, board members, any additional comments? Mike, do you have anything for us?
Nothing this evening, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
That brings us down to the planning and zoning. And we'll start with item number one. Item number one is TM25500071, tentative map consisting of one commercial lot on 1.89 acres in a CG commercial general zone, generally located on the south side of Blue Diamond Road and the east side of Durango Drive with an enterprise for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening. Marissa Berman, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here tonight on behalf of the applicant. We are on just about 2 acres south of Blue Diamond Road, east of Durango. Directly to the east, we have an existing Kmart here. To the north is an existing Walgreens. South of the site is multifamily. You can see there's some undeveloped land to the west here. We are requesting approval of a tentative map. Staff is recommending approval of this application. This site, earlier this year, a commercial center was approved, which is comprised of a drive-through and vehicle wash. This is a tentative map giving the developer the opportunity to subdivide the parcel in the future. As I said, staff is recommending approval, and we respectfully request the same from this board. Thank you.
I'll open up item number one for public comment. Any public comment on item number one? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Board members?
I just had a question for staff. Lorna, I guess I was confused why we would have a tentative map for a single parcel on a single subdivision. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me why we would be doing a tentative map.
It's totally their choice. They may need it for whatever purposes. The tentative map does allow them to
subdivide by surveying
the future if they do so, depending upon the
site layout.
So there's many reasons why they want to do it. It's their choice.
Okay. For a single lot, it seemed odd, but yeah. Thought I'd
ask. I'll add to that. It's to give them the opportunity to subdivide and separate out the drive-through car wash and the existing cell tower on site so that they're all separate in the future.
Got it.
Yeah. Because when his piece was originally, it was one tentative map on about 5 acres. Then it was divided into 4 parcels, of which this is one of them. And it's had a number of potential businesses, none of which have come out of the ground yet. So,
this is the one.
So hopefully this works. So, any other comments? You want to make a motion on it?
Sure. Chair, I'd like to make a motion. Item number TM250071 for approval, staff condition.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number two is ET2540047 DR220072. Design review, second extension of time for the following: 1. Distribution center, 2. Lighting plan, 3. Alternative parking lot and landscaping on 4.3 acres in an industrial park zone within the airport environment A60 overlay, generally located on the east side of Valley View Boulevard, 700 feet north of Blue Diamond Road, within Enterprise, for possible action. Good evening, again.
Marissa Furman, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here again on behalf of the applicant. We are just east of Valley View Boulevard here. You can see the site in yellow. This is a previously approved distribution center. We requested a first extension of time in 2024. We are back again for our second extension of time. We have pulled permits. You've probably seen in the staff report, we have approved permits for drainage and off sites, as well as a few boat building permits, but we are stuck in the tricky landscaping of financing. So that has caused us to come back and request the second extension of time. Staff is recommending approval, and we respectfully request the same from this board. Thank you.
I'll open public comment on item number two. Any public comments on item number two? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close public comments. Board members? I'll make a motion on item number two, ET2540047 DR220072 for approval per staff conditions. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Have a nice
Item number three is SDR250340. Sign design reviews for the following: 1. Increase the area of proposed electronic message unit, static. 2. Allow proposed freestanding sign along freeway. 3. Reduce the setbacks of proposed freestanding sign. 4. Increase the number of proposed monument signs. 5. Proposed signage for a previously approved office retail warehouse complex on 13.5 acres in an IP industrial park zone, located on the south side of Wigwam Avenue and the east side of Dean Martin, with an Enterprise, for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members, staff. Jay Heller, 4330 South Valley Boulevard, here on behalf of the applicant. What we have before you is design review. Our project is fronting the 15 freeway. If you look, just north of Wigwam here is the Silverton property, and on the other side of Dean Martin is residential adjacency, and there's commercial to the south as well. What we're asking for is a freestanding sign along the 15 freeway with area increases and electronic messaging unit. We feel that's suitable since it's entirely shielded by this building here from the any of the frontage area, and the setback reduction is from 10 feet to 2 feet, or 2 feet is what we're requesting, and we feel that's also appropriate, again, along the 15 freeway right away. And there's a number of parcels north and south that have walls built right on the right-of-way, and and the property line, the right line. Also within our request is monument signs. So we have three that we're proposing, one on the corner of Wigwam and Dean Martin, one at the main entrance along Dean Martin, and one that is on the corner of Ward and Wigwam. And with that request, Title 30 limits to two monument signs, but we're asking for one additional, and given the amount of frontage that we have 1,915 legal feet of frontage, and in Title 30 it allows two up to 1,000 feet, or over 1,000 feet, and we have 1,915. Again, these are all within the compliance with Title 30, other than we're asking for one. And that's it. We respectfully ask for your approval.
I'll open up item number three for public comment. Any public comment on item number three? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Now, do you have any
yes.
renderings of the actual signs?
This would be the monument signs. There's no tenant signage allowed on these. It's just strictly the directional signage, which since there's four buildings, four addresses. We added stone to match the building, and the colors will match the building as well. Again, this is compliant with the size. It's just the quantity.
Yeah. My opinion is you kind of have to take the good and the bad with what you got here. Decided to move this park into an area that's a residential area. I'm not in favor of the additional monument sign. I did have a question. One of the setbacks, the one that you're proposing for the sign number two, is 9'2". Is that right?
No, it's the setback is 2 feet.
Oh,
that's the one that's at the center?
Yep.
I have a increased size for that one.
Do I just have an old plan that I'm looking at here, or did you change the setback?
Yeah, it does say 9'2" on it.
Does that sign not require a 10-foot setback as well? The other two monuments are exceeding that, but it seemed like a...
It looks like we posted the worst-case scenario.
A 2 foot, okay. So this is, the posting's for the worst case scenario, but this one's also requiring a reduction. Okay, I understand. How is that, I'm assuming these signs are externally lit? Is that correct? I can't really-
Correct, we eliminated any illumination, internal illumination.
Mm-hmm.
So to minimize any of the
you're using like landscape lighting,
we're
or you got
landscape up lighting.
Okay.
Correct.
I think the sign's a little big for that neighborhood as well, given it's almost 7 feet tall, but I can get past that. Like I said, I'm not generally in favor of the third sign.
Where would you suggest that we put, would you have an opinion of where those would be located?
Off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's a good idea nor a good precedent to set within the adjacency to the residential R&P across the street to start increasing numbers of signs.
I did meet with them, or I did send them all this information, the neighbors across the street.
So to Brownstone or to the R&P?
Brownstone.
Okay.
And both went to. And I had offered to meet them on site to go over it.
Okay. You're here asking for a recommendation. I'm telling you my recommendation. I understand your perspective.
And I would also just say the history of this with the Brownstone folks. We did make a lot of compromises when we originally approved this, or when this original project was approved. We did restrict our signage along the entire frontage, all along Dean Martin,
mm-hmm.
Ford, and Wigwam. We voluntarily reduced the signage. We eliminated any illuminated signage, which we were allowed to do, and we defined the colors and the size the tenants can have. So we've restricted the signage, trying to be a good neighbor.
My recollection of that, though, is that they also asked you for several other concessions that weren't followed through with, but that is how the project got approved, is how it's there now.
And we de-restricted the property against certain uses, which we're not able to take, which we voluntarily de-restricted against cannabis. We don't allow truck fleet parking along the front, which we have
really hard. It would be really hard to pull off in that area, especially now that that's a collector and not an arterial.
Hard to pull off, I'm sorry.
Doing fleet parking in that front area.
Well, fleet parking as in companies that have trucks or cars.
I understand
that part. But we have a blood supply company that we couldn't do because they had vans. So we've restricted our ability. We have,
I understand you made concessions. I also understand that you were asked for several more concessions as well in that area.
Well, we reduced the building heights.
You did.
We added screen walls for headlights.
I don't need to rehash all of it. I'm agreeing that you made some modifications. I'm also saying that my recollection, this was a contentious project, and there were also several other concessions. I think that it's a bad precedent, in my opinion, that increased signage in this area, especially along the Collector Road. I'm a bit torn on whether I think the freeway sign makes sense.
Well, that was another item that was on our initial plan when we came in originally.
I do think, contrary to how I would normally feel about setbacks, I think that there's benefit to, if that sign's gonna go forward, to the reduction of the setback for that larger sign to be able to push it closer to the freeway. Normally, I'm pretty heavy on not wanting to reduce setbacks, but given what you're reducing it against, it makes sense to me.
Appreciate that. And also, that allows us to push it down further for that building to be directly squarely in front of it.
I am,
to shield it.
Like I said, I am torn on that sign in particular because it starts to introduce an element that's not in that corridor. And feels like a precedent to me that I'm leery of setting, having a nearly 20-foot sign along that corridor, so.
But remember, our tenants are the little guys.
Sure.
We're between the Silverton and South Point, and why do the big guys get to do it if the little guy?
Because
it's a big deal for us.
I hear you. I can answer directly my opinion of why the bigger, because they're on the major roads and you're adjacent to a rural neighborhood and next to an animal preserve.
Well, but they're on the 15 freeway as well.
I hear you.
We're it's contiguous.
If you were across the street, it would be I wouldn't be torn.
Well, in the spirit of trying to make this brief and appreciate your input, I'll leave it to you, but I do think that the way that it is sealed, it is shielded by that building along the freeway, then there's really no negative impact to the neighbors other than the I-15 freeway right away visibility. That's really the only area that it's going to be seen from.
Yeah, but on the 15, if you go north of Blue Diamond, there's a series of warehouses, none of which have this kind of sign. They have building signs, but that's it.
There are other locations along the 15th.
I'm opposed to what you're proposing here.
Understood.
I don't think the size and location of this sign, and I think what you've got is essentially a destination type project. People are going to put it in their phone and they're going to find it. You're located a fair distance away from, Blue Diamond, and you've got to go down to Silverado Ranch for the rest of it. So you really don't have good access on and off 15. So I don't see a purpose of a large sign at that point. And given the number of units you've got, that's going to be kind of hard. and I think it's also a distraction factor.
For the freeway?
Yes.
Yes.
And I agree with the staff position that the freeway sign is just not appropriate.
Well, you know, there are other locations, other properties that do have that, that are even bigger and larger, that are within...
But we're not... We're talking about this particular sign and its location and what its intent is. You know, that's the thing. And this particular board has been not that favorable toward signs over in the past.
I do agree with the sign is pretty big, from 100 square feet to 648. That's kind of 5% increase, you know. So that's a pretty big sign on freeway where there is nothing actually. It's pretty kind of not lit up area there. Only two billboards on the other side, but not kind of this clear trend sign. So I do agree with assessment by my colleagues here with respect to
Andy,
signs not fitting in the area.
Just say I go with Eric Harrison said, it's just the one thing I don't like about it is where it is with relation to the residents or the neighborhood in the area.
I guess what other question I have for you, as I read the application, it's for a proposed electronic messaging unit, but I don't, and maybe I'm just not understanding the definition of that, so feel free to correct me if I screw that up, but I see a no, it's a 16 millimeter color LED. Okay. Is it?
It would help if we saw a picture of it.
Yeah, do you have your, that's, there you go, that's the one I was looking at. Is the side illuminated as well?
No, it is not.
It's not wrapped like you see on the strip?
No, and it's a static message unit allowing 6 opportunities for tenant signage. And again, the offset of this was the restrictions of signage along the frontage facing the residential area. Again, in the past, we've had a lot of neighbors show up at these, which I know you've normally get, but if you notice today, we were very proactive. We've met, we said, out to neighbors. I think I can't speak for them, but from Brownstone, if you talk to Chris, he's not concerned with this, and he was okay with the monument signs. So, and I, again, not speaking for them, but I just want you to know that we're the good actors. We're not, we met with the neighbors to try and preclude that from coming here.
I appreciate that you met with Brownstone. I'm assuming that when you say you met with the RMP that you met with them as well, but
this all went to them before they even got notified.
Sent to them, or you met with them?
Well, I met with Chris.
Yeah, over at Brown's.
He sent it to Tommy, and then Tommy sent it out to the
RMP. Okay. Like I said, I think you got to understand, outside of a vacuum, that you've got an industrial section or a warehouse section that you're trying to build here, that it's also got to be taken into account with the specifics of the road it's on, not just the I-15, but the collector road that it's on, and it being adjacent to RMP, which, to my knowledge, it's a fairly unique characteristic. It does happen, like Mr. Chestnut just mentioned, directly north of Blue Diamond, but they also don't have these elements. There are, I would say that of those developments that got built there, there are some that I think are good, there are some that I think are not as good, so.
Yeah, hope you look and see too, and hopefully we would be one of the good ones. And I would also say that, you know, this property was acquired at auction from the Department of Aviation, mm-hmm. Clark County. So it's deed restricted, you know, and that's part of the issue for this area, that it's not able to be residential. So, and it was zoned H1 prior, so we feel that this was a more compatible use than H1.
I agree. The H1, at the time that happened, that there was also another development, you know, I don't a mile and a half down the road, where it was even deeper, closer to the RNP.
Okay, General, let's stick to the sign.
Okay. Yeah,
I apologize. Mm-hmm.
Barry, do you want to?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Okay. I'll make a motion item number 3, SDR 250304, to deny sign reviews 1, 2, 3, and 5. Approve sign review number 4, which is the increase in the monument. And per staff,
if approved,
conditions.
Okay, Lorna, I got one question on design review number 5. Says for proposed signage 4. Should that, in this case, be limited to monument signs? Just wanted to make sure we didn't need to clarify that. All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number 4 is VC 250283, variance to reduce the setback for an existing patio cover in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.1 acres in an R2 medium-density residential zone within a PC Plan Community Overlay District and Seven Highlands Master Plan Community, generally located on the west side of Valley View Boulevard and 190 feet north of Royal Scott's Ave within Enterprise for possible action. Do we have an applicant? Seeing no applicant approaching, the chair will trail item number 4. Is there anybody here who wants to speak on item number 4? Chair has trailed item number 4, the call of the chair. Okay. Item number 5 is WS 250278. Waivers of development standards for following: 1, reduce setbacks; 2, eliminate building separation from existing accessory structure in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.11 acres in an RS3.3 single-family residential zone, generally located on the east side of Flagler Street, 55 feet north of Julesburg Drive within Enterprise, for possible action.
Okay.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, everybody.
Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Asrat Burku, last name Burku, and 7858 Blackler Street.
Thank you.
And having the at the back of my yard storage.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
Sorry. Yeah, my name is Asrat Burku, and my address is 7858 Flanagan Street. And I built a storage at the back of my yard. And I don't know, first I went to the Clark County website, and then I only see that 200 square foot. If it's not exceeding more than 200 square foot, I can build it, and then I start with it, which I shouldn't, but I ended up now. It was a little bit closer to the fence on the east side, and as well as south side.
Anything else?
And I have, which is, that's the previous, I had it before. It's existing storage, a small storage. And that one also, it's too close. I built it up before, a long time ago, it was like in 2010. Mm-hmm. It's a plastic movable. Another one, which is, it's next to my back door out on from my house, which is the French door, and it's a patio kind of thing. So that's I did it also in 2010.
Do you have a diagram of the layout? If you could put it over on the table so everyone can see it. Anything else, sir? Any other comments?
No, that's it.
Okay. I'll open item number 5 up for public comment at this time. Any public comment? Item number 5. Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Board members?
I'm curious that there's a smaller storage shed that you got, right? And that one was already there? Is that how you're saying
that? That small one used to be there before.
You moved that one?
Oh, before, you actually, the other corner used to be on when I built the new one. It was right in that corner, but it was the same thing built up like now, which I put it up.
You moved that one?
Moved this one.
You just pushed it over?
No. I moved it to this corner.
You didn't have to deconstruct it or anything? You just moved it? By just keeping it as one structure and then moved it, or did you disassemble it?
It's a plastic, you know, the one I bought it from Walmart. I mean, not Walmart, the Sam's Club. And I just built it there. It's been a long time ago, 2010.
And then you built the bigger one after?
The what?
The bigger shed.
The bigger one, this one, yeah. Now I just built it.
So the new structure, if I understand it right, is 13 and a half feet and a foot off your neighbor's wall?
Yeah, the reason I built up that story, I used to own a business since 2016 until 2020 when the COVID came. I closed the store and then I moved it to the storage. And the storage unit, the rent goes way up every time they add it on me. And I still have my stuff inside there. But, it just makes me to build this. And I built this because it's a lot of money for me. I can't afford it.
And I'm empathetic to that. I but I don't think I can support the that structure. I got less of a problem with the structure that's the plastic structure that, what is, am I understanding that right? That one's about 8.5 feet, about 2.5 feet over the wall from your neighbor, is that about right? Rough?
That was the new one.
Your old structure, the plastic one you moved.
Yes, it's close.
But it's also something that's sticking up above the wall.
No, not
your neighbors that. Apparently have an issue with it because you got a code complaint.
Two of them, they signed for me. The third one, they, I didn't find them. That's what they signed.
Somebody reported it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have the code complaint. So somebody's apparently got an issue with it. So.
The issue with the new one or the old one?
I don't know what the code complaint says. I can tell you what you were cited for. I generally can't support the bigger structure. It's inappropriate in that neighborhood. It's inappropriate in, at that residence with that size of a backyard. It's the unfortunate thing that sometimes of how some of these subdivisions get done with their density, but it's not something that makes sense to me to support that. Like I said, I think I can support your old shed. I'm not sure up against the wall tight makes sense to me either.
I seem to echo what you're saying. That is, compared to the second storage unit, which is only within 4 inches of the property wall, which is pretty close. It's like abutting, right there. That's what the report says here. It says 4 inches, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's almost there. Yeah.
Oh, I hear you. I would feel a whole lot. I mean, it looks like it's mounted on pallets, so hopefully you could move that, but I'd sure feel a whole lot better if it was not 4 inches. But I don't think I can wrap my head around supporting the storage unit number one. Storage unit number two, I don't have as much of an issue with. But
how about the shade structure?
I can get there on the shade structure. I can get there on storage unit number two, a 13.5 foot additional storage unit in that small of a yard abutting the next door neighbors doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah. Is there an HOA for this neighborhood?
Say it again.
Homeowners Association for the neighborhood?
Actually, the Homeowner Association, I went and I asked them, they say, anything you want, we don't mind. They say.
Okay. That's because they could overrule us easily. So just the way the state law is written. If they say no, what they say goes.
The association, they didn't care.
Yeah. I think I agree with Barry at this point.
Yeah, I do.
You want to do it, Barry?
I'm looking to see if so. In what I would suggest is denying 1A and B. Actually, denying one total.
Yeah.
Approve two. And Mike, we'd have to lean on you for the context of, because structure number two, the application's asking to reduce the setback for structure number two. Don't really have a problem with it, but I can't make him apply, I can't change his application to be something other than the 4 inches he's applied for, right? So as this goes on, you can add that context. something closer to a foot, foot and a half would make much more sense than 4 inches away from the wall. Something that you can still get back in service.
Yeah.
To get around it.
If you approve it, he still has to get a building permit. That is a condition of this. And with the structure as it is, there's no building permit that will be issued for it as it sits. There's going to be building setbacks, so.
Perfect.
That's your.
That eliminates my part of that. Okay.
With the way it's designed, you would have to stucco it, you would have to meet all the fire standards to be in anything. I think it's less than 5 feet. So there's a lot that would need to be done if it were to remain.
And that's on number two.
That's the orange number two.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can make a motion and see if we can't move this along. I'll make motion item number 5, WS250278, for denial of waiver of development standards number 1, and approve waiver of development standards number 2, and per staff if approved conditions.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda are items 6 through 10. Item number 6 is PA 237-00051, holdover plan amendment to redesignate existing land use and category from ranch estates neighborhood RN to low intensity suburban neighborhood LN on 2.14 acres generally located on the west side of Gillespie Street, 130 feet north of Wellsprings Avenue within Enterprise for possible action. Item number 7 is ZC230879. Amended holdover zone change reclassify 2.14 acres from an RS20 residential family zone previously notified as RE rural estate zone to an RS5.2 residential single family 5.2 zone previously notified as R1 single family residential zone located on the west side of Gillespie Street, 130 feet north of Wellsprings Avenue with an enterprise description file for possible action. Item number 8, VS250285, vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Silverado Ranch Boulevard and Pyle Avenue between Haven Street alignment and Gillespie Street, and a portion of the right-of-way being Gillespie Street, located between Silverado Ranch Boulevard and Pyle Avenue, with an enterprise description file for possible action. Item number 9, WS250284, waivers of development standards of the following. 1, modify residential adjacency standards. 2, increase retaining wall height. Design review for a proposed single-family residential development on 2.14 acres. In an RS2.5 residential single family 5.2 zone, located on the west side of Gillespie Street, 130 feet north of Wellsprings Avenue, within enterprise for possible action. Item number 10 is TM2550070, tentative map consisting of 8 single family residential lots and commercial lots on 2.14 acres in an RS 5.2 residential single-family 5.2 zone, generally located on the west side of Gillespie Street, 130 feet north of Wellsprings Avenue within Enterprise for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening. Robert Cunningham, 6030 South Jones Boulevard with Tan Engineering, representing the applicant. First two items that you listed, the plan amendment and the zone change, were previously heard by this board when there was no attached site plan with it. The Board of County Commissioners sent us back here. indicating to come back, present the site plan that is now attached with these applications, get additional recommendations from this board for all of the applications again before they are allowed to proceed forward with moving to the Board of County Commissioners next month. So what we're asking to do here is there's 2.5 acres directly located south of Silverado Ranch Park. So this is the park here. There's approximately 2.5 acre site right here. This is a bigger blow up of an aerial. So you can see the park here. There is the LeBaron alignment right here with overhead power poles that exist in this entire area that run through here. This is the 2.5 acre approximate gross acre site that we're looking at here. What we're proposing here is 8 residential lots. So we have one hammerhead cul-de-sac that comes off of Gillespie. It's our only public access. Along the north, we have a common lot where the power easement is similar to what is going to, or exists across Gillespie to the east. Then we have 8 lots oriented in this manner. We have 10,000 square foot lots, 3 of them along the south, another one along the west. And then we have 4 lots that are approximately 5,500 square feet or so in size, oriented from this lot adjacent to it all the way to Gillespie. These back up to the power easement. These do not include any of the area of the power easement within the lot area either. So we're constrained by the power pole alignment easement here. These do back up to the park that is directly to north. This portion of the park is a dog park. We are proposing a one-to-one relationship between the lots to the south of us to our lots. So we have 1, 1, and 1. And then there are 2 lots, very large lots, approximately 1 acre to the west of us. We are also proposing a one-to-one relationship with those 2 lots. We also are proposing to vacate patent easements that exist on the property on the south, on the west, and adjacent to Gillespie. There's a small area where we're proposing to vacate, so that we can have the detached sidewalk that is requested by Public Works and by planning staff. They're proposing 2 different homes in here that are 2 stories. They are about 3,000 square feet in size each. They match the similar architecture that's adjacent to it to the east and to the south with stucco coat homes with concrete tile roofs. And I can show you elevations of those and floor plans if you'd like. There's quite a few neighbors here, I believe, and would like to speak on this. So what I'd like to do is wrap up my presentation at this time. Be happy to come back and answer a bunch of additional questions that probably will arise. Thank you.
At this time, we'll open items 6 through 10 for public comment. So be pleased to step forward and
starting to get complex. You seem to be the one that always comes up and talk. It's great to see you gentlemen again. You've been very helpful. My name is Cami Graffiata. I'm at 10045 Gillespie Street. I'm just south of this project, and I am on not 2.5 acres, 2.14, just like this project would be. Not that measurement shouldn't mean much, but we shouldn't probably exaggerate too much because it makes things not seem as egregious as they may be. We did come before to a neighborhood meeting where we had also very limited views of what was going to be built around us. And although 8 does not sound like a lot, because it's truly not 2.14 usable acres, currently in a zone where it would only hold 4 houses. It would potentially even hold less if the zone were not changed at all than 4 houses, because you couldn't get a full 4 houses on half acre per lot zoning, I believe. So what they're asking for is currently 100% increase or more than what is currently zoned for. We were asking at the neighborhood meeting if they would at least come back during this process with perhaps a 1 house reduction here where they've got 4 to make it minimally or maximally 7 homes. We were hoping to see that. We were hoping to see a little bit more about the design of the homes. So I would like to at least request that a better compromise than 8, which is fully double what they're currently zoned for, be made. And that would be, and I am, unfortunately, we did get a few of these notification cards just yesterday, 3 of the 4, and the HOA president for the neighborhood directly to the east, and as well as the one that is directly south of this lot, both let me, or ask that I mention their names. That would be Bert and Diane Anzai, they're out of the country, and Colleen Verhove is recovering from a surgery. And I also got communication from one of the homeowners that is directly behind this project that he was unable to attend. So it's kind of a bummer that we didn't get a little bit more heads up to this project. Thank you.
Hi, my name is David Durango. I live on 10,003 Ryan Rivera Way in the Pewter Valley Estate community, just north of that location, south of that location. I just want to try to get clarification. At one point, I thought they were about building 2 homes in there at one time. Now they're talking 8. And are they going to be, is this going to be a gated community, is one question. And what are the selling costs for these homes? I don't know, it might be larger. I just want to get an idea what that's going for. And at one point, I think we're going to change it from rural to city. So instead of rurals, you know, well and septic, or it's going to be city water and city sewer. So those are just my questions.
Yeah, when the applicant comes up, we'll get all those answered.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Additional comments? Any additional comments on 6 through 10? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments at this time.
Would you like me to respond to you?
Yes, questions? Go ahead.
Okay, sure. So to the last gentleman who was here, who lived on Brian Rivera Way, this is not going to be gated. This is a private street, but it is not gated at all or proposed to be gated. The approximate homes range in about 3,000 square feet. Current market rate for something like that is around $900,000 and up. The city water and sewer, or in this case, Las Vegas Valley Water District, water will be utilized, and we'll be using Clark County Water Reclamation District public water and sewer lines, no wells, no septic systems at all.
Thank you.
As far as the density goes on this, when we started this process and we held neighborhood meetings, we did have more homes on this initially. I believe we had quite a few more. I think it was 12 at one time, 10. And we reduced and we're down to 8 now. And we're putting in buffering adjacent to it, which I know is preferred from the direct neighbors. I think the contention here is these smaller lots here that are neither directly adjacent to these homes, but yet adjacent to the park. So we believe it's appropriate for the area. If we actually came and included the area, which is not really usable, of the power easement, we would be able to gain almost another 50 feet of lot depth for each of those lots. I'd be happy to answer additional questions if you'd like, or go over anything else.
Okay. Board members? Staff's totally opposed in this. And at this point, I agree with the staff. I've looked at the area. I've looked at the different lot sizes in the area, and I don't think this fits. You know, if you were south about 2-3 blocks, yeah, probably would fit. But this particular site is particularly well buffered from the higher density stuff to the south. So, you know, that's there are other places that deal with the power line. Some places included in a backyard and nothing can be built on it, but you know, that's, you know, however the individuals design it from there. So I think in this case, the way the power lines are, it'd be very difficult to put a wall in because you'd split the power line property just about in half. Yeah, so but And I think putting a land use on this that allows greater density than what was originally intended can open the door, because we don't know what's going to happen after this. If this project goes south, you know, they could come in and do all, you know, 10 units in there potentially. So, you know, that's, so I agree with the staff's position, and I'm not in favor other than the vacate and abandon.
I think this is a good example of why it's important to see the projects and not approve plan amendments in a vacuum without having the project presented. If your project, which would still require a very similar application, mimic the parcels to the south, and you had six parcels here, I'd be a whole lot more favorable towards it than it is as it's proposed now. But you'd still be looking for an increase in density there. But you're not asking for that. So, yeah, I'm inclined to concur with the staff writers.
Yeah, I think I have the same views here. Across from the, across the, on the east side, there are bigger lots, almost quarter acre. So, yeah, I do agree with the assessment here. Staff assessment.
Andy, anything?
Yeah, just the design with the four, you get the four houses with the bigger lot, and just the look of then the shaving down the additional four houses north side of the property. I don't agree with it as far as increasing the amount of dwellings on it. So yeah, I agree with the staff recommendation.
And one thing I will add, that on the north side, because of the power line easement, it's not really 2.15 acre that mentioned by Madam here. So I do agree with that.
Okay. I'll make a motion on item number 6, PA 23700051, for denial. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Make a motion on item number 7, ZC 230879, for denial. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. I make an item, make a motion on item number 8, VS 250258, for approval per staff conditions. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Make a motion, item number 10, WS250248, for denial. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Very much.
I got one more.
Dave,
did you
skip number 9, I think?
Yeah,
no.
The last one was going
out.
You missed number 9, Dave.
No, I'm... Yeah, the last one I wrote was WS250284 for denial.
So you missed 10.
Yeah, I didn't announce 10 yet.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. We're all moving fast. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Item number 10, TM 255000070, for denial. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Trying to rush me.
Sorry.
Next item is item number 11, ZC 250281, zone change, reclassify 3.71 acres from an H2 general highway frontage zone to a commercial general zone, generally located on the south side of Blue Diamond Road and east side of 10 AOA, with an enterprise description file for possible action. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Chair and town board members. James Grindstaff, representing the owner, Namsey. I kind of consider this just a housekeeping item. the shopping center has already been approved. It was approved in 2023. We're sitting on H2 zoning. As you know, H2 zoning no longer exists. So we're asking for to change it from H2 General Highway to CG Commercial General so that it is, conforms to the current master plan. With that statement, that's, I'd ask for your approval.
Okay, I'll open item number 11 for public comment. Any public comments on item number 11? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Board members, I agree with the applicant. H2 has got to be fixed.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
I'll make a motion on item number 11, ZC250281, for approval of per staff conditions. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. In my whole life, that was the time I was the least controversial item. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it also. Okay. Is there an applicant for VC250283? Seeing no applicant for item number 4, VC250283. Chair, I'll make a motion to request that item number 4, VC250283, be returned to the Enterprise tab due to applicant no-show. And the meeting date of May 28th, 2025. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. General business is none. Brings us down to the comments by general public. Period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction would be held. No vote may be taken upon any matter not listed in the posted agenda, and comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. And state your name, address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, it will be done by the chair or by the board by majority vote. Are there any general comments at this time? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the general comments. Next regular meeting will be May 28th, 2025 at 6 p.m. in the Silverado Ranch Community Center. And I will make a motion to adjourn the Enterprise Tab Advisory meeting at 7:08 p.m. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.